Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
I am so excited about this week's conversation.
Yeah, this should be fun.
This is going to be, we got wine.
We got wine. We're settled in.
I'm ready to gossip and chat about a show that I never thought I would watch. People have tried to get me to watch this show for years. I watched it with my mom a little bit when it first came out, and I was just so like, this is garbage. This is trash. I don't believe in anything it stands
for. Well, I mean, and you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. I felt the same way. It went against, I thought, kind of like the core of who, what I believed in. Like,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
I did not want to watch the show. I did not think I would enjoy the show. I started watching the show, I think, the same way that a lot of people do, which is kind of like to have something to talk to your girlfriends about. Like, I started watching this show because
You had, like, a bachelor thing at work, right?
Yeah, like, all my girlfriends at work were like, let's watch shows together so that we can, like, get together and talk about them. And so one of them said, like, let's watch The Bachelor. And it was actually The Bachelorette. I remember the first season I ever watched. It was Rachel's season. And I agreed to watch it because it was the first Black Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'll tune in for this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give her my ratings. Like, let's see. And then I've kind of been a serious watcher since then.
If there's one thing to know about me, I don't half-ass anything. I whole-ass everything. And I started watching Colton's season. Like, this year is when I started watching. Max's sister Haley was like, we're gonna watch The Bachelor together. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's gonna be dumb. And I was hooked. And now I listen to Bachelor Recap podcasts. I love looking at the Bachelor Bachelorette tag on Instagram. I love the drama. I love knowing about what's going on. I love spoilers. I love knowing what's going on. Because I think for me, it's a nice change of pace. It's reality TV, but it's so beyond reality that you can kind of like dissociate for a little bit. And just, you want to see them find love. You want to see the drama. You want to see the different things because it's so far away from, like, for me at least, what my life is, you know?
Right. So we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not The Bachelor is good or bad. I mean, like, that's boiling it down pretty far, because that's subjective in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But the ways in which it is or is not feminist, because there's actually been so many articles written about this very subject, because a lot of self-proclaimed feminists, including you and I, watch and enjoy The Bachelor, even though it absolutely, there are so many things about it that are anti-feminist on their surface.
Yes.
You know, they are incredibly heteronormative. They're incredibly materialistic.
They lack a lot of diversity.
They completely lack diversity.
Yeah.
So let's kind of break it down a little bit and just chat a little bit.
So I saw a quote, and now I cannot find where it is, but it was basically, it was an article that was saying why, it was like entitled Why Feminists Love The Bachelor.
Oh, it's a Vogue article.
It was a Vogue article. Okay, because I have the Vogue article here and I don't see it written down. But this woman, who she's actually the executive women's director of Huffington Post and co-host of Bachelor podcast Here to Make Friends, which I love.
And I love
totally
the title of that.
Gonna check out. She says it's something that we can sink our teeth into as engaged feminists. It taps into all these really base and often regressive ideas our society has about how love and sex and courtship should look. That makes it really ripe territory to analyze from a sociological perspective. And I gotta say, I'm not watching the show where I'm like, while I'm watching it, I'm not like, let me analyze this and really think it through as a feminist. It's more so for me something that I think about after the fact, unless, of course, if you watch this season, if there are people like Luke P, then it's very obvious that you are like analyzing this man and being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Your feminist heart starts to rage and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I will be honest that, like, it does, I do have to turn off, I have to actively turn off that part of my brain that wants to be super hypercritical.
Yeah.
Because if I leave that part of my brain on, it is impossible for me to get through it, because I do feel like there are so many things about the show that will make me cringe because of because they feel anti-feminist to me, because they feel objectifying.
Yeah, it's interesting how that part of my brain, I think because I see it as such, it's such a staged production. These people are meant to grind your gears. These people are, they are cast to give you a certain feeling where I feel like sometimes it's not, I don't feel as connected to it until I'm kind of like sitting back and listening to it.
You know, I read a really interesting article though, kind of about that, because there is this weird thing with reality TV where we don't see these people as people, even though they are people, because they're so produced and because the show is so produced, we don't see them as people. However, there have been times that I feel like The Bachelor and the Bachelor franchise has done things for ratings that I feel are unethical or just kind of gross.
Like, I agree.
I know that they, well, I mean, even in this last season, for instance, like, letting Luke P come back, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Letting Luke P come back after Hannah had sent him home.
Yeah.
And then nobody, like, stepping in to me.
Help her.
It, like, it, the, because it was awful. Good for ratings, right? But to me, I'm just like, if that was me, I would be pissed because I would be like, producers, like, he's advancing on me, like, constantly. Like, can someone, like, step in and, like,
help me
get him away from me?
Yeah. And, you know, and somebody made, somebody, I listened to the, podcast, Rosecast. It's these, like, their slogan is like the interracial male best friend bachelor recap podcast.
Okay.
And they're awesome. And I was listening to that and they brought up a really good point where a lot of times the producers like befriend the lead.
Yes.
And they get super, super chummy and close. And then yet they're still doing all this like really shady shit.
Well,
but
it's,
like they're but they go along with it because they're like, oh, these people have my best interests at heart.
It's like a less dramatized version of Unreal. Like Unreal.
That's what I was gonna mention, is Unreal.
And you know, Unreal was actually created by a former producer from The Bachelor, and a former producer who considers herself to be a feminist.
Yeah.
But she was manipulating these people. And, you know, I remember from Rachel's season, it took them how many seasons? That was probably like season 13 of The Bachelorette, season 20, probably season, what, 40 of everything
Something
in The Bachelor
like that,
franchise before they had a Bachelor or Bachelorette of color.
Yeah, we still haven't had a
We have not had a Bachelor of color. And in Rachel's season, I know that they... It came out that one of the contestants was racist.
Lee the racist?
Yes, and he had, he had made, like, racist remarks and tweets. And it is, I don't believe that the producers didn't know that. Like, you vet these people, you vet their tweets, you know that this is out there.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's super fucking gross to put someone that you know is racist on the show for the first Black Bachelorette, like, that is gross and manipulative to me.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, like, undermines the whole thing. Because they wanted to cause racial drama.
Yeah.
You know, by doing that. And that's super fucked up.
It's very fucked up. I was listening to that show that I was mentioning, and they were mentioning that, spoiler alert for this season, that they probably knew about Jed's girlfriend the whole time. And I honestly think with the way they edited it, they made him look real bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of editing involved. There's a lot of producing involved.
Which
this
is
not reality. Which is like, I don't forget that they're real people. But I know how produced it is and I know how edited it is. So for me, it's almost like, I'm never going to take everything that these people say to heart because I don't know them as people. And I think a lot of people do. A lot of people attack these people. Again, people like Luke P, they deserve it. They are obviously real pieces of shit. But he also, it was so produced to have all the men gang up on him. It was so produced for a lot of the things that happened where I know they're real people when I'm watching it, but I also know that there's so much going on behind the scenes that is making it appear to be a certain way that it's still
it's
enjoyable, it's, and I know there's more to the story.
Massively like, you know, edited. But that's to be expected with any kind of, like, reality TV show.
Yeah.
I think, for me, the thing to be wary of with that is, yes, these people have, like, signed up for this, right? They've signed up for this, but they still have to live their lives afterwards. But you know what? Okay.
But so, people forget after a while, too, I feel like.
Yeah, once you move on to the next season or whatever. So, you know, what you said, the quote that you gave from Emma Gray, it really makes it sound like feminists are watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette because we want to, like, socioanalyze what's happening. And I think that that's being really, really generous. Mm-hmm. So, like, to go on in this Vogue article, she goes on to say, every Monday night at 8 p.m., feminist bachelor slash bachelorette Twitter, a mighty force, tries the show by fire, contributing to the flood of tweets that regularly make it a top trending topic. Quote, like during Andy Dorfman's season, when Andy literally takes her law school diploma off of her wall and puts it in a box so she can start her journey to find love.
Oh.
I tweeted about sending my daughters out of the room. Or when ABC set up what this woman calls two bachelorettes enter, one bachelorette leaves, premiere stunt between Caitlin Bristow and Britt Nielsen, I could tell my daughters, this is what objectification looks like, where men are allowed to vote on which woman they want, like they're deciding between McDonald's and Burger King. And I hear what she's saying. Yes, these are negative things, like life lessons, but also there is something so, like, high and mighty and, like, pseudo-intellectual about saying, like, I watch The Bachelor so that I can give feminist lessons to my daughters.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't. No you don't. Stop saying that.
And there's other ways to give feminist... You should be giving your daughter positive feminist examples rather than, I would not watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette with my children point blank. I would not do it.
Well, and saying that you're watching it so that you can point out, that's what objectification looks like. Like, I don't believe you. I think that you are doling out excuses to justify your guilty pleasure. Like, that's what you're doing to me.
I mean, it's absolutely insane. Well, and you brought up a really good point when you were talking about, I mean, the whole premise to the show is so, it's such heteronormative bullshit. I mean,
it's archaic.
Yeah, the way the show started, it was just The Bachelor. There was no Bachelorette. They pick a guy who looks like a Ken doll, or actually, no, take that back. They pick a basic white dude.
Yeah, he doesn't always look like a Ken doll.
No, I've seen some of them, and they end up with these women who look like Instagram models.
I have never.
And I'm not saying that
I don't
women,
think Nick was hot.
There's
personally.
A lot of people that I'm like, really? Which I'm not saying everybody deserves love. You can be with different levels of what I find attractive, and you can fall in love. Whatever. That's not what I'm trying to say. But they're finding these basic guys, and they are finding the most beautiful women in the country. And they're bringing them, and they're saying, this is The Bachelor, you're really going to love them, and they're pumping them up. And they start with how many, like, 32 contestants?
Something like that.
And they don't even know the guy. They're already, first night, they're already competing for attention. They're already competing to see.
Well, because the first night, you get, like, a huge number of people get eliminated the first night.
Exactly. And they just, it's not about love, it's about not wanting to be eliminated.
Right, and a large portion of that, because, you know, there's 32 women and one man, if we're talking about The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And not a lot of time to get to know all these people and understand what their personalities are like. So a big part of what gets people eliminated, I feel like, is their looks.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and their ability to grab...
Stand out.
...attention in a good way. Because... But it's so... the first few episodes to me are when it is completely nothing but a game. It's completely a game. It's completely just competition. I feel like as it goes on, there are feelings that get involved, because if you are spending time with somebody in a beautiful mansion or in a beautiful location, going on these crazy dates.
Without any other interaction. Like, you know, you don't have your phone, you don't have outside influence or outside temptation or news or anything.
Yeah.
You are isolated. All you are doing is sitting in, like, in the case of, like, The Bachelorette, all you are doing is sitting in a house with a bunch of other dudes drinking. Like, that's all you're doing.
That's it. Hannah got drunk a lot. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
She was,
I mean, good for her.
I love it. But it's such a, you know, when it first starts, it really boils down to this stereotype of female competitiveness. And I feel like that's something that when the show started, they really thrived on. They wanted to see these women get into catfights and one-up each other. And
right. It definitely facilitated that.
Because we are programmed by society to believe that, especially when it comes to finding a mate, that we have to, like, one-up other women to be superior and to tear other women down in the process.
I mean, and not only are we set up to do that, even if you personally are not, liable to do that, like, in your everyday life.
You're going
to
be sent
home. Are, well, I mean, it doesn't, even if you're not, like, you are being put in a situation where, of course, that's going to happen. Because, again, you don't have any other interaction with anything else. Your entire world, they're making your entire world revolve around the whims of this guy.
Yeah.
When is he going to call you? Are you going to get a date card? Like, if you go,
are you going to get a rose?
Are you going to get a rose? If you go on a group date, how are you going to stand out? And then you're in a house with other women who, yes, you are, I'm certain, starting to develop feelings for this person,
yeah,
this guy, because yeah, you're being told that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you're having to see him with these other people that you have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, I think it's human nature.
It's like Hunger Games shit.
Yeah, and it's human nature to feel unsettled by that, even
yes,
if you don't feel like,
because this is not a normal circumstance.
It's not
like where you are dating, where someone is dating 20 people. Like, that does not happen in real life. That's not okay. Like, you
yeah,
can't,
I mean,
do that.
It's,
you know,
okay if you have an agreement that that's
yeah,
what you are going to do,
which I guess they do when
they sign up
for the Bachelor, but
they
mean,
do, but it's incredibly
but
one-sided,
most,
you know.
Yes, but for yeah, and for most people, I think, you know, they are there where they're like, I want to get the most time. I want to get the most attention. They don't want to see you making out with another girl or
that
guy.
That you have
know?
To live with.
Yeah.
That you are going to see by the pool every day. You know, like, that's...
And you get that amount of people together, too. You're bound to find somebody that you clash with.
Yes.
And there's only so much you can take. They are pumping you with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
There's... It's... Shit is bound to happen. I am the most... love everybody, female empowerment person in the world, but I think if you were to get me in a room with someone who's maybe super anti-feminist...
Well, some people are just going to annoy
you.
You
know, it's like, or just annoy... But I mean, I don't think if someone annoyed me, I would, like, lash out at them. I think it would have... They would have to say something, I feel like, that would really invoke it. You know what? I would just start crying.
I don't know. Catch me on a bad day, and if someone's just been annoying me for, like, a solid fucking week, like,
yeah,
you know, and then, like, catch me on, like, a bad day... I don't know. I could lash out on somebody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I would also be the woman who's perpetually hungover on the show.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'd be drinking so much.
Yeah.
So much.
It would be bad. But yeah, for me, that's the basis of why I feel like it's problematic, because you're seeing these women tear each other apart, trying to get this basic-ass white dude, when really...
That's how I felt on Ari's season. I'm like, can we all stop pretending like this man is special? Like, they're... Come on.
Like, come on. What is he, really? I actually read some really interesting things on Reddit, which I would love to read.
Sure.
Because it kind of goes back to what I was just talking about. This first one, you know, talks about just a list of, you know, it's why it's problematic. And this person says it's an unrealistic male fantasy where a bunch of hot young women fight for a completely average guy. She's quoted saying, the women backstab and betray each other just to get Wonder Bread until he oh so graciously mm-hmm. bestows them with a rose, symbolizing the great love he has with you and 15 other women.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, that's the thing at the end of the day, is it's such, I feel like the last few episodes, like the hometowns, and the meeting the lead's parents and things like that's, like, to me, the realest the show gets. Because for me, the whole, everything before it is, it's a game.
I mean, and even then, I don't know how I would feel, like, if my brother was like, I'm on The Bachelorette and, like, made it to hometowns and, like, came home with this woman. Like,
yeah.
I would be like, I just don't know how I would feel about that. Because
you
like,
would
still...
get so many clips in that episode if your brother came home.
Oh my God,
you,
I know.
They would be focused on you.
They'd probably
you
be
the
like, she's
time.
A bitch. But like,
your,
seriously.
Your mom would be like trying to make nice.
Oh, hi.
And Keegan would just be like, excuse me?
I'm sorry, you have three other boyfriends?
Yeah.
That you're all meeting their families and saying the same shit to them? Like,
yep.
You can't, like, can't get me on that shit. Like, I know what's happening
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you would become famous.
Yeah.
You know what? Tell one of your brothers to go on the show.
Honestly, just for my sake.
Plug the show. Plug our show. And we will be famous.
Yeah.
It'll be
amazing.
Amazing.
You know, the thing about the show, I think, that most people point to first whenever they're talking about the Bachelor franchise being unfeminist is the strict enforcement of gender roles and this weird focus, this archaic focus on marriage or relationships, but I mean, actually marriage, yeah. because it's a proposal at the end. You yeah. know what I mean? It's marriage as being like your be all end all goal and like the thing that we should be focused the most on. I mean, they were talking about that one bachelorette who put her law degree, took it off the wall because she's ready to focus on love, as if those things are mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
And like you can't have both of them. I mean, and even with the bachelorette, which you would think is like a reversal of gender roles.
It's not.
At the end, why doesn't she propose?
Yeah.
Why does she still have to wait for one of them to propose?
Exactly.
You know?
And it's still, the gender dynamics are still there, even though it's the lead. And I have to say, like I said, I've only watched 2 seasons of this show mm-hmm. in its entirety. I'm not an expert on the history of the Bachelor, you know, franchise. But what I liked about Hannah was that she did kind of display this, you know, she did have a lot of very traditional gender role goals in her life,
sure.
I feel like. But I feel like she always talked about her passions. She wanted the guys to get to know her. She wanted to make sure her voice was
yeah,
heard.
Yeah, I would say you saw a very interesting, for it being your first season of The Bachelorette to watch, I'd say that you saw, like, an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because she was definitely more outspoken about, like, she, I honestly didn't see her slut-shamed hardly at all, even though she was, like, straddling these men.
Every episode. She was slut-shamed toward the end.
I mean, a little bit, but even then,
well,
like,
but by the contestants, not by
oh,
the
sure.
world.
Okay,
yeah.
sure. Yeah, by the contestants, sure.
Oh, yeah, she was making out with everybody, but I was like, girl, get it.
Well, they always make out with everybody.
Yeah.
But, like, even more than that, I mean, she was, like, on them.
Yeah.
Like, on them every episode. And it wasn't really an issue. Like, it wasn't really a subject of contention. And she also stood up for herself a lot throughout the series.
She was, like, mom. She mommed a lot. Like, when they were all fighting about Luke, and she came in and she was like, enough! You kids are driving me insane! Like, she totally had, like, a mom moment on all those boys. Mm-hmm. And then they started fighting again, and she came back in, and she's like, didn't you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Which I loved. Like, she wasn't afraid of being
aggressive.
Aggressive and about stating her wants
right.
and about making sure that her needs were met.
Yes.
And I think that was something that was really great.
Yes, but, like, you know, I do still feel like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, I do feel like they gave us The Bachelorette because they saw mm-hmm. how problematic The Bachelor was. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, we'll give them a Bachelorette. And then it's like, okay, because we've reversed the genders. And but they've also managed to, like, really hold on to a lot of the issues. Like, I know in past seasons, I think they're pulling away from this with modern day Bachelor because they see
yeah.
the way that the society has changed. But in past seasons, they would do things like, on a group date, they had a bunch of the women in bikinis skiing, or like,
yeah.
or like they'd have like 4 women on a group date all doing a bikini swimsuit, you know, Sports Illustrated cover.
But I love that in this season of The Bachelorette, they had the guys in Speedos.
They had the guys in Speedos.
That
they had
great.
The guys doing doing drag
modeling
doing
drag,
or whatever.
The birthing simulators.
Right, which was really cool. I do feel like The Bachelor is taking the pulse of where we are at as
yeah.
a nation right now
but,
and pulling away from that. But, like, I remember Becca's season, she had, like, a lumberjack competition. And
yeah, well, Hannah had the Scotland thing.
She had the Scotland thing where they wrestled, and she also had rugby. Like,
yeah.
there are these things that are, like, very aggressive and meant to show. And, you know, as we saw with the rugby game, it worked with Luke P, where it was like, I have to show her that, like, I'm going to fight for her, and I'm the strongest,
and
I'm going to, like, fuck people up.
I'm going to fight for them is the most obnoxious phrase on that show to me, because it's always from the men. It's never wanted. I mean, if you look back at Colton.
Oh, my God.
You have a woman who is say, like, watching Cassie and Colton in those last few episodes was aggravating, to say the least.
I agree. I mean, and they're
because
still
like,
together, but if I had told a man in no uncertain terms that, like, I don't want to do this, I'm
yeah.
going home, and he hunted me down,
fence,
you know, yeah.
And I'm going like, to fight for her?
Yeah.
No. Like,
maybe I don't want you to fight for me. Maybe
soccer.
Maybe I don't want you to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think that Cassie and Jed on this season are a case of people who wanted to go on a show and become Instagram famous and get the sponsors, and they ended up winning, and they were like,
what do I do?
What do I, now that I'm, like, with this person, like, I played the game, and now I'm, like, stuck with them. Which now Colton and Cassie, from all intents and purposes, they look happy, whatever. But, like, the I'm gonna fight for her thing, especially when it's coming from a man, well, seems incredibly scary and aggressive.
And I feel like it's just so indicative of what our culture does. Like, because that's kind of what I was raised with. We were raised with these kinds of princess fantasies about being damseled and needing to be rescued. And if you'd asked me whenever I was a little girl if I wanted someone to fight for me, I would have said absolutely, because that's what was presented to me as, like, the ideal kind of, I wanted to
romance.
Be white knighted. I wanted somebody to, like, swoop in and, like, sweep me off my feet and all of that. And not to say that that, you know, is
there's a time and a place for it, but with someone who I feel like you've already established a relationship with, like having somebody care for you or stand up for you, that's never a bad thing.
But that's different
within how you do it.
It's different than telling someone, it's different than telling somebody like Luke P, for instance, in this last season of The Bachelorette. It's different than telling him, I want you to leave, and him saying, I'm going to fight for you. I'm not going to leave.
I'm just not getting up. He's sitting in his chair. She is standing, and she's like, fucking leave.
Yes,
and
I want you to go.
There.
And him coming back and saying, I know you just want me to fight for you, and, like, that's what I'm here for,
and
just
I know
to fight
that
for you.
You think I'm judging you, and I'm not. And it's like, no, she asked you to fucking leave.
And you were. He gaslit her hard through that entire season.
And I want to talk more about gaslighting.
We will definitely talk about that.
I'm going to go on to the next point that Reddit made that I really liked. And this gives into what we were just discussing, especially when it comes to Cassie and Colton season, where the contestants are ultimately powerless. Their relationships on The Bachelor aren't about mutually learning and deciding to continue seeing each other. The contestants don't get a real chance to see if they're even interested in the lead.
I'm, like, nodding my head so hard it's gonna fall off.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like a bobblehead right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is part of the problem. Like, with both Cassie and Jed, and, like, sure, they probably went on, or I won't speak for Cassie, but Jed definitely went on show.
For music.
For ulterior motives, you know, not to find love, but I would say that's probably 90% of the contestants do that. But a big problem with this is, like, it is a competition. It's not about, like, me liking you and you liking me and us exploring this and deciding that, like, yes, I want to pursue this further.
Have you ever seen a contestant be like, you know what, I'm actually not that into you, I'm gonna go?
No, I mean, I have seen people leave the show, but generally it's not because I'm not into you. It's because, like, I can't deal with this environment. Like, this isn't for me. Like, this environment isn't for me.
Or, like, this season there was somebody who was who left because of, like, they had found things on social media after he'd already been on the show.
Right, but that's, like, not choosing to leave necessarily. I mean, I guess it is, but... But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen them actually say, like, actually, this isn't working. The closest I ever got to that, which I appreciated and who I love very much, is John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones! At the women's, or at the men's tell-all.
Yeah.
Where he said, he was just like, you know, it just wasn't right between me and Hannah. Like, we tried to make it right, and, like, we had fun together, but, like, I just think neither one of us were really feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
and
I appreciate
and I think
she kept
him around because I think he was a really good guy, and that made more sense than keeping around some of the people that she really didn't like.
And he
like.
Was fun, and I could also see myself trying to talk myself into being like, I don't know, he's fun, he's a good time, like, I feel like I could make this work, and then it not working. But I appreciated that he actually said it, that he was like, you know, she's a cool girl, and I had fun, and she had fun, but, like, in the end, we weren't right for each other.
We barely ever saw them interact.
Right. Hardly ever.
He was like, I'm going on a trip with my boys, I'm gonna eat chicken nuggets.
Yes,
like, this
queen.
Shit's good. Like, and we love him for it, because he's just who he is, you know what I mean? He's not bullshitting anybody.
Well, I mean, and I appreciate that. You know, like, we can talk about the trashiest corner of the Bachelor, you know, triangle, which is Bachelor in Paradise. And it's got a lot of problems, okay? Listen, I'm not going to say it doesn't. It's got a lot of real feminist-based issues.
I've never seen it, and I'm very excited.
Oh, it is the best.
Everyone said that they're like, oh, just wait. And I'm like, yes!
Honestly, I would rather not watch. I pretty much only watch Bachelor and Bachelorette to get to know the people so I know when they're like who they are when they get on Paradise.
Mm.
But one of the things about Paradise that I actually like is that the power switches.
Yeah.
You know, it goes from...
Well, it's mutual, right? They choose each other.
They choose each other. And, you know, there is this weird, like, desperate thing that happens, like, when there's about to be a rose ceremony and, like, the girls have the power, so the guys are all of a sudden like, hey, I'm really into you. Can you give me your rose so that I won't leave? You know? So there
well,
is
because
that,
do people, are there an uneven amount of people where...
Always.
Okay, so yes. Somebody is going home then.
So for instance, yeah, so like if the men have the power the first week, there'll be like 10 men and 13 women. And so you know that 3 women are going home if they're not paired up, right?
Got it.
So yes,
God, that sounds horrifying.
Oh, it is.
Somebody like me, please.
Please, God.
Somebody.
I don't know that my ego could stand up to being in paradise because I'm like, if no one asks me out on a date, I'm gonna like be so sad. But I will say that I like that in that show, it is a mutual. Like, either one of them can be like, you know what? I'm not feeling this. It's not working for me. Yeah, I'm going
to,
you know, go on a date with somebody else. Because
I'm going to go on a date with John Paul Jones now. Bye.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Except for that he's, like, probably way younger than me. I don't know how old he is, but...
He's probably... I mean, they're all so young. That's the other thing. Like, this season, Hannah's age showed... Like, that was obvious. And I feel like in Colton's season, with a lot of the girls, there was a lot of really, really young girls. Cassie was very young.
Colton seemed young, too.
Colton is very young, yeah. But, I mean, like, this past season, Hannah was 24.
Mm-hmm. And she turned 23 on Colton's season.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, there was so much self-exploration. She talked about that a lot, which I really commend her for. But you don't hear somebody who's a little bit older... who already kind of knows about themselves. They don't talk about that self-exploration as much. They already pretty much know what they want out of somebody. And there's not so much... You know, I feel like she was very vulnerable to giving people a chance when everything in the world was telling her not to. Mm-hmm. That was her biggest fault, I think. And I think it was because of maturity. I think that she's like, these guys are really into me, so I need to continue seeing... I need to get... The word clarity. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. If I heard that word one more time.
Every time I heard the word clarity, I used it in just my day-to-day life today, and I wanted to punch myself in the face.
Well, I mean, I would say about... I need to stop doing that, by the way, listeners. I know I do that a lot, where I'm like, well, I mean...
I've never noticed that.
The thing I say a lot.
Did I tell you that Max started saying, as you would say, bonkers in our bonkers. Day-to-day life?
Yes.
I was like, oh, my God, my boyfriend even knows now.
But... I feel like a lot of that stuff is young stuff where we have been conditioned to, because she kept Luke P around because she's like, something in my heart. It's a feeling, you know? And I feel like you do lose that a little bit as you get older.
I mean, I look at my last relationship and that was totally, it was like, but my heart loves
my feelings, but my feelings. And yeah. I feel like as you get older, you start to... Not that you completely discount that. It's not that it's not valuable. It's just that logic becomes more valuable. Like, what you're seeing becomes more valuable. I feel like at 23, I was far more likely to be like, I don't know, I just have this connection. I just have this thing, you know? Even though everything was telling, like, everything on the outside was telling me, like, no, red flags, red flags, red flags.
Yes.
Whereas now, as an older, you know, in my late 20s, I'm like... No, if there are red flags, objective red flags, I will cut that shit off, you know?
Exactly. And I think that you start to... I actually ran into a friend that I hadn't seen really. I mean, we were really good friends when I was 19. But we were talking about our dating lives and about how different it is when you're older because it's almost like you're on like a... He was saying it's almost like I'm on a job interview. He just got out of a long relationship and he was like, you know, it feels like there are... You have these... qualifications in your head when you're meeting somebody because yes, you want a connection, but you also want to make sure this person's life fits what you want your future to be or what you want your life to be.
And that's valid.
That's
like, you know, I feel like
100% valid and it's important.
It's important. And I feel like when we were younger, or at least for me, I'll speak for myself. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing with like a Hannah B, that young, old school, maybe even Southern mentality of feeling like, you are judgmental or you're being too judgmental or superficial if you discount somebody because their lifestyle isn't what you want.
Right.
Like, oh, I can't believe you wouldn't date him because he doesn't have a job. And it's like, okay, but I'm also allowed to decide, like, this is what I want for my life.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of life is what I want. And this person doesn't fit in with that. And like,
that
that's okay
Hannah's
too.
And that was even Hannah's defense. She's like, I have three great guys. Which life do I want? Was her thing.
I mean,
and I'm like, Jed?
And at the end, I know, I was like,
really?
Why?
And, Tyler!
And at
bitch.
The end, when she's chosen Jed and she finds out all this stuff about him and he's trying to explain herself, I did love it that at the end, he's trying to be like, well, but you said yes, like you said yes. And she's like, I didn't say yes to this.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked that. I liked that they displayed that, you know, people have the right to change their mind.
Yeah,
like, and,
exactly.
And say, you know, this isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Where I feel like in general society would tell you, like, push through, give him another chance. Like,
yeah.
Get to know him with all the cards on the table. And it's like,
yeah.
Maybe you don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
well,
okay.
And the other, when I think about myself when I was younger in my past relationships, I was in relationships in, like, college. Where you're living in almost, like, an alternate reality. Like, my parents were still helping pay for almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to go to school every day. I worked two nanny jobs through college, but they weren't like grueling full time. It was like one in the morning, one in the evenings, you know, not even every day. And you find somebody where, you know, they don't have a job either because you're in school full time. You know, you don't see the full picture of that person. Whereas you grow together, for me in my last relationship, it wasn't that I, you know, didn't think this was a good person.
Absolutely.
I mean, I definitely fell out of love, but at the same time, it was just like, we got together in circumstances that were so beyond the norm in adult reality that your life
doesn't
reality. Fit with mine anymore.
Right, and that's kind of how it was with me in my last relationship as well. It was just like, we got together when we were both kids, and I grew up, and
yep.
You didn't grow up.
Same.
And like
we had very similar
experiences. But you know what? To kind of tie that back into The Bachelor, this is a false reality. And
they're
I think
going
that
on
all the time.
Crazy dates, mm-hmm. And they're in beautiful, like everything about this show is made for you to fall in love.
Right. It's a fairy tale, which is not real life.
Put me in Greece with any man and make me go on dates with him and have him sweet talk me.
Right.
I'm going to be like, hummina, hummina,
they're
hummina.
Setting it up these really unrealistic expectations, which mm-hmm. I think is another thing that feminists tend to have a problem with The Bachelor, right? Because it's like, we always talk about how Disney movies are setting you up for failure in a lot of ways because these unrealistic expectations about what love is and how
yeah.
it's going to feel and what it's going to look like. That is what they're doing on The Bachelor constantly.
Yeah.
And it is potentially negative. It is potentially, you know,
damning.
Damning, yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that it's like in real life, you meet someone, you're going on dates, and it's usually like, you know, dinner and a movie, but it's like the other person is choosing the date. You know what I mean? Or you decide together. You know what I mean? It's just you two.
And you're picking things that are, like, within your budget. You're doing things like
yes,
that.
Yes, but this is produced. This is,
right.
like, in real life.
With a massive budget.
It's done with an outside source. If I were to say, hey, Keegan, with you know, not our money, with a budget and your imagination.
What do you want to do?
Come up with me and Max's date night.
Mm-hmm.
You would come up with something spectacular.
Right. If you said, you know, we have $100,000 for
wish.
A date. Like, what do you want to do? That opens up a whole new world
and
of possibilities.
And even having someone else make the decision mm-hmm. is the thing for me.
Yes.
Because it's not like this person was like, I was thinking of you and I thought you would really like this.
And
it's putting people into just a very, like, it's a situation where it's not personal. There's nothing personal about
it. And
it
also takes away the possibility for you to be like, weird about, like, the date. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes someone will take you on a date and you're like, did they really think I would want to do this? Like,
yeah.
This is so weird and I feel so uncomfortable. Whereas if producers are deciding that you should bungee jump naked,
yeah.
then it takes that out of it because it's not like your date decided that. Like, so you
yeah.
can't hold those things against your date.
That sounds
you know?
Dope, by the way. Like, bungee jumping scares the shit out of me, but there's something about bungee jumping naked where I'm kind of like, I would do it. I don't know. Except for, I threw my neck out a few weeks ago. Like, I can't do anything like that.
Yeah, bungee seems intense to me. I don't know.
I would rather skydive, I think.
I think I would rather skydive, too. Let us know, guys. Would you rather skydive or bungee jump?
In a poll.
We should do that on our Instagram.
We should. We'll do it when this episode comes out.
But I think, okay, so let's pivot to talk about some of the other more problematic things about the Bachelorette. Let's do it. So there's a real lack of not only racial and ethnic diversity, but also diversity in body types. It doesn't exist, actually.
Nope. It doesn't exist at all.
Body types don't exist at all. It is one type of person. There has never been a plus-size bachelor or bachelorette contestant ever. We may have gotten closer with bachelor contestants of being, like, maybe not, like, the most fit. Yeah. But bachelor contestants, meaning the women, they are always super thin.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, yes, they are always very thin, but I have seen, well, we were talking about Anyeka earlier, and I think she had a very different body type than Cassie and Demi.
Or Hannah G, right? Like, yes, like...
She was a black woman. She was curvier. There were differences about her. I'm not a fan of her as a person, but she did kind of display a little bit of difference in that.
Right, but you know what?
The scale is so slight.
It's hardly anything, you know, because this is still a woman who, yes, she has a different body type,
but her body is very fit and thin, you know, for her body type.
It just looks different.
But that's something about the show. And I want to get back into what you're talking about with the body diversity, but this show, this season, Tyler was this, like, feminist hero for just being a decent human
being. Yes, the bar is very low.
The bar is so low. So
just him being like, let her be herself, and everybody was like, bravo!
Bravo! You're a feminist hero! Yay!
Icon.
And it's the same thing when we're talking about different body types or different, like, diversity in the show. You know, they give us an inch, we take a mile. We're like, oh my gosh.
They throw us a bone and we're like, oh my God, thank you. It's like water in the desert, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's a real problem. I would love to see a plus size woman on The Bachelor. I think that would be incredible. I would love to see more ethnic diversity outside of just... I feel like...
Black and white?
Yes. I feel like when they think, like, we're being so diverse, we've got, like, 6 black guys on this season. I'm like, okay, but you've got maybe they'll have, like, 1 Latino guy or 1 Asian guy.
And, how about, like, a Middle Eastern person?
They always get knocked off in the beginning, too. Yeah. Like, they never make it very far. I've never seen it.
Or they're given no screen time. Like, I remember the name Mateo on this season of The Bachelorette. But, like, he was never really shown.
Right. You know what I mean? Yes, exactly. Or there was, like, I think one of the bachelors is before my time, but there was a bachelor named Juan Pablo, so I can assume that, you know.
Probably not a white dude.
Probably not a white dude, but still, it's very rare. Or, like, Rachel's season.
Yeah.
Who was the first black bachelorette, again. The person who won that season, he was a Latino man. I think, I don't know if he was Cuban. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bachelor Nation. I can't remember.
Oh my God, Max hates it when I refer to anything as Bachelor
Nation. It is. I mean, that is what it is. But, you know, so in addition to, like, body diversity, ethnic diversity is really important. And I do feel like they're starting to get better, but they've really played into these stereotypes where you do have the Anyeka who is super loud and super combative as a black woman. And you have a lot of, you know, the Latinas on the show, they are, like, spicy Latinas. Like, they play into that stereotype.
Yeah, they'll say it. They'll be like, have you ever been with a spicy Latina before? Like, they'll play into that stereotype.
Well, because they know that that's what they're there for. Yeah. Like, sadly, they're there to fill a slot as, like, this person. Whereas there's 20 white girls, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about gaslighting.
All right.
Because I've only ever watched 2 seasons, a lot of my thoughts on this are particularly within the last 2 seasons, especially this last one, particularly with Luke P. I feel like the gaslighting started right away, but especially when we saw the naked bungee jumping.
Let's preface a little bit about this. I don't imagine people who don't watch The Bachelor are listening to this episode.
They were like, oh, they're talking about The Bachelor, and no.
Yeah, I'm good. So I assume that people kind of have an understanding of what's happened there, but just in case you don't, like, Luke P was a guy on this last season of The Bachelorette who was incredibly manipulative, and I would say bordering on, if not fully, into emotional abuse.
Yes. Well, he did. He emotionally abused her left, right, and center.
Yes. And he definitely gaslit her a ton throughout this season. And not only did he gaslight her, he gaslit the other guys in the mm-hmm. house, which I would say you saw the first of that in the rugby episode where we talked, which we referenced earlier, where he gets super, super, super aggressive and, like, throws a guy down, and everybody except for Hannah sees him do it, and he says, oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And he's trying to convince...
He totally plays it in a different light.
Right, which he does consistently throughout the entire show.
Yeah, so we see he's religious, which I don't even want to bring up, because I don't think that people who are Christian and religious necessarily hold these crazy views like he does, or would be this
cruel. I think it's worth bringing up, and actually I, you know, started reading an article about this because... I think it's worth bringing up because he uses Christianity to gaslight. Yeah. And he uses it to gaslight her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so I think that that's worth bringing up, that people who use religion to manipulate other people, especially when you know that the person you're talking to
is also religious
in the same way, that you can use your religion as a weapon.
Yeah. And I just wanted to bring that up because I don't want it to seem like it's an attack, because I don't believe that everybody who is religious or Christian feels this way.
No, he used it as an attack.
He did. He was not so happy that she went naked bungee jumping with Garrett. But then again, Garrett was, like, his number one, like, combatter. Is that a word?
Hey, rival.
Rival in that part of the season. So, of course, it's going to make him mad. And they're like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, everyone's getting ready. But he obviously gets very upset about it. He speaks with Hannah about it. And...
Tells her it's disrespectful to him.
Tells her it's disrespectful, and for herself it's disrespectful.
Yes, she's disrespecting herself, which, bitch, first of all.
Yeah.
How she didn't let him go right then, I don't know.
Because what he did when she let him go was basically the same thing. Anyway, so they have a conversation. He goes back. There's more conversation. They talk about it again, and he says that... You know, he didn't judge her character once, even though he already told her that she made a boneheaded mistake. He says,
the way he talks to her is so upsetting, because he almost talks to her the way that you would talk to a child.
Yeah.
She doesn't see it as a mistake.
No.
So you trying to ease the blow by saying, look, I get it. We all make mistakes. That was a mistake. You made a mistake. And she's like, no, it wasn't a mistake.
But then she's like, oh, maybe it was a mistake because I hurt this person. Because she's a human being who doesn't want to hurt somebody. And, like, he even goes so far as to say that Hannah is manipulating him. It's such bullshit. Like, he tries to change the context of everything that she says, everything that he says.
You're misunderstanding me.
He will trump shit up. He'll say something and then be like, I never said that.
And the number of times...
Or you misunderstood me, or you forgot what I said.
That's the thing that makes me the most crazy. Like, to me, that was the most blatant gaslighting on the season, was the number of times he would say... You're misunderstanding me, or I don't want to be misunderstood.
Can I just say something real quick? Can I just cut you off?
Let me.
I'm like, let them fucking speak. It's not all about you, you asshole. Sorry to people in my life who feel that way because I talk so much, and people have even said on the show, they're like, Madigan cuts Keegan off a lot. And I'm like, I don't try to. I'm just talking. But basically, the whole thing kind of blew up on their final date. It was the fantasy suite week, and he's like, let's talk about sex. And
I'm because like, he's the really? Last one to go on a date with her.
But
she's
he doesn't
already
know that.
Gone on fantasy dates with the three other men.
But does he know that?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't
and
know.
He says, like, let's say you've had sex with one or multiple of these guys. I'm talking crazy here. Like, you would never do that.
I know that you would never. I know a woman such as yourself
would never do something
who is so righteous.
Yes,
would never do something so slutty.
Oh, you're the leader. You're the leader of your. You're the religious leader in your family. So am I. I know you would never do that. And
but if you did, just out of left.
Yeah, I would leave.
I would walk away. So just tell me right now.
And then she's like, excuse me. He goes, no, I wouldn't leave. Relationships are about communication and working through things.
You misunderstood me.
You misunderstood me. That's not what I said. And then he even says, if it was just a slip up, we could get through it. And she's like,
I deliberately fucked in a windmill.
I fucked in a windmill four fucking times deliberately. consensually with fucking Peter the pilot, and I had a damn good time.
So you may go home now, sir.
Yeah, and then he just sits there. Like, there were so many moments of gaslighting, and I feel like, you know, my history with this franchise is very brief, but I feel like this had to have happened so many times before.
I mean, I'm sure it has, but I think the way that she handled it is probably unprecedented.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I will say that I think that that is a change in the times. Like, I know that there was a bachelorette in the past who, during Fantasy Suites, she had sex with both of her finalists.
Yeah.
And the internet found out about it, and they flipped their shit.
Yeah.
They slut-shamed the fuck out of her. And it was really upsetting because it was like, nobody's talking about
the guys
who are having sex with her.
Oh, they're rooting for them to have
right,
sex.
Right, you know. So and I think it's something that's changing throughout the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah.
And let's not give the Bachelor franchise too much credit, okay? Like, they only change when it will make them money. And
yes.
When it will lose them money not to do so.
Yes.
We are living in a current climate where, like, you
capitalism
cannot,
is key.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot, like, slut shame a girl the same way that you used to be able to and get
but
away with that.
But I have to say, so if you watched not after the final rose, but it was the first half of the finale this past season where Peter was on. It was right after Peter
yes.
went off. And that's when Hannah says, you know, when she tells Luke, she says she fucked in a windmill once, and then she says she did it twice. And then on that after show, she says that they did it four times. His whole family, mom, dad, and brother, Peter's family are, like, clapping, proud of their son. Chris Harrison's like, Dad's chest just puffed up a little bit. If that was the other way around,
yep.
If it was The Bachelor that was like, we fucked four times in a windmill, and the girls' parents were in the audience,
they most
like,
likely wouldn't be so proud.
And
right, and that's a shame.
And Hannah's parents loved that Tyler didn't have sex with their daughter on the Fantasy Suite. It was openly discussed that, like, no, he was respectful of me, and we, you know, which is great. But that was a topic of conversation where the dad's like, of course I'm gonna love this guy. He didn't fuck my daughter in a windmill. Like, that's,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's weird.
Yes.
It's a weird thing to be involved with as a family.
I don't understand why, yeah. It's a weird thing to be involved with at all as a family, and it also definitely, that very clearly highlights the differences, the societal differences between men and women and how we're conditioned to think about and talk about sex.
And the differences between everyone else's parents and how my mom reacts to that kind of stuff. My mom gets weirdly proud of me with
that kind of stuff. Nope, I don't want to talk about it with my mom.
Yeah,
don't
my
do
mom,
it.
When I feel like I've told this story, so I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but when I lost my virginity, she asked me if I used protection. I said yes. The second thing she said was, how was it?
I don't like that.
Sorry. Oh, it's weird. She's asked me way too many. She knows now, but I was just like, mother. But, the differences between the Fantasy Suites is very, very obvious and was expected. You know, I think with Colton, it was like, we wanted him to sleep with them. Like,
well,
there was something about that. And
I think
Hannah, you don't think that.
When talking about the show as well, like, you know, when talking about The Bachelor and the ways in which The Bachelor is problematic, they set up these fantasy suites, which, yes, it's like, okay,
it's called a fantasy
the fantasy
suite.
Suites aren't necessarily used for sex. However, you are setting it up to where they can be. And then
they're not on camera.
And then you act super precious about it if anyone uses it for sex. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, that's a normal part of dating.
Or give a huge applause if they don't have sex.
And that's a normal part of dating, and it's not something that we should be so weird about. And if you are going to be weird about it, Bachelor, maybe don't make it part of the show.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it part of the show. Okay, so we are coming to the end of our episode here.
So let's kind of wrap up about
our feelings as feminists or not, you know, how do we feel?
I feel that the Bachelor franchise is unfeminist.
I agree.
And I watched it anyways.
I agree. I actually read a New York Times article about the nature of guilty pleasures and the way that we talk about them. And I've been very guilty about this, even with the Bachelor franchise, of talking about them as if I'm, like, embarrassed. Like, you know, I know it's stupid. I know it's dumb, but I watch it, you know? And how I should really reframe the way that I have those discussions, because it's actually good to have guilty pleasures.
And because it might not be discussing them as guilty pleasures, because if it's something that does give you pleasure, there shouldn't be anything guilty about it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I walk a line because also, you know, I had read some articles and listened to some things. There's a really good episode of Stuff Mom Never Told You that I listened to like years ago, so I can't really remember all of it, that talks about reality shows.
Yeah.
And like, you know, how we as feminists should relate to reality shows. And they had an expert on there who does talk about how it is, like, shows like The Bachelor are net negative in terms of feminism, and they aren't good for you. Like, they actually aren't good for you.
Yeah.
So in that way, I'm like, okay, there can be guilt involved there. However, one, if your quote-unquote guilty pleasure does bring you a moment of, like, solace or comfort at the end of a day, then that's okay because it increases your happiness, which is, like, what this New York Times article was saying. And two, what this expert did say is if you are watching your guilty pleasure through a critical lens, like, if you are not just absorbing it, right?
You're
not
just, like, you're
being a sponge and letting it, like, soak into you.
And
if
you're not
Right. If you are... Yes, if you're not buying it hook, line, and sinker and not, like, taking it to heart and if you are having those, like, discussions with yourself after the episode about, like, well, clearly this is a problem or whatever, then it's okay. You know, like, it's not going to be as harmful. It's just one of those things that you need to be aware of.
It's hard to think of, you know, we talk about where we want to put our views, where we want to put our...
Energy
into, because also, like, it's because of the viewers that this has been going on for so long, where it's like, do we want this to continue? And I think part of me is like, yes, I want this to continue, and I also want to see it evolve and change. And I hope to see changes in it.
And it has been. You know, it has
been. It's
been
slow.
Those changes may be for capitalist reasons, like those changes.
I'll take it at this point.
But yes, because it's culturally more positive for us to move in a direction where these girls are not being slut-shamed, you know what I mean? You know, because as annoying as she was, you got a Demi from Colton season, who's now on Paradise, and she could be annoying, but you know what? She was out there on The Bachelor being like, I like sex. I enjoy having it. It's fun for me.
And it's not even spoilers in the trailer. She hooks up with a girl on Paradise.
Well, it's not on Paradise, but she does hook up with a girl, yes.
Oh, it's not on the show?
It's not on the show.
But they filmed it.
Right. Okay, I'll tell you about it later.
Okay, sounds good. Oh my God, juice. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. This was an incredibly easy episode for me to prepare for.
I know.
And it was so much fun.
I do want to say that, like, again, we're recording this the same time we're recording our mini. I was on a plane all day today. It's probably 90 degrees in this closet.
My boob sweat is out of this world right now.
I read some articles, made some notes, but I didn't do as much hardcore research as I normally would do. So if there are things that you want us to talk about The Bachelor, if you're like, you missed this thing or this thing, or this is something I noticed about The Bachelor and how it relates to feminism, please let us know.
Yeah, like, go ahead, shoot us an email. We want to hear what you have to say. Our email is neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Always check us out on Instagram. That is where it's at. If you haven't followed us already, what are you doing? I don't understand. We are at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook group and business page. We love it when you review us on our business page. We love it even more when you review us and rate us on Apple Podcasts so much. And I forgot to say this on the mini episode. We also have a Twitter that we sometimes use.
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Every once in a while, we'll check it out. You can find us at YANF Podcast.
YANF
Podcast. If you aren't listening to us on Radio Public, think about it. Just give it a try and see how you feel about it. It's a free way for you to listen to us. It just gives us a few pennies, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. Very helpful. You guys, thank you so much for listening. That's all we have for today. All that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye-bye.